had my own audit trail. Welcome this morning. My name's Steve Rendell, and we're going to be looking at personal stress, managing personal stress in the workplace. At the end of this lesson, I will be giving you a handout. And this handout has been vetted by a psychologist and approved. So the steps that are pointed out in the handout, I think you will find suitable to take with you and use in daily life. I'm used to starting with prayer. No, we won't do that this morning. I have one limitation though. In preparation for this, I printed out the unit page and only managed to print out the first page. So I didn't have range statements or anything like that to work with. But I think we'll get through this. Imagine a police officer going into a house as a domestic. He doesn't know what he's going to find. He doesn't know whether there's an armed person in that house. He goes in, gun drawn, and he hears, click. What's going to happen to him?
Fear.
Fear. Anyone else got any ideas?
Adrenaline.
Adrenaline? Medically, what is going to happen is adrenaline will be released by the adrenal gland. Blood is shunted to the brain and large muscle groups and away from the skin and organs currently not in active use in the body. A section of the brain called the reticular activation system activates keen alertness, acute vision and hearing. Glucose and fatty acids are injected into the bloodstream to provide energy for quick action. And the immune and digestive systems are temporarily shut down. And all this happens in a fraction of a second. This is the body's preparation for fear and stress. Now, fear and stress are slightly different. Fear can be positive, it can also be very negative. If fear takes hold of you, it is very negative and brings on stress. But if you respect fear, you can learn from it. Fear is like a pressure. Look at a tire with a tube in it. And while there's constant pressure there and the tire's in good condition, it'll work. Now, we were transporting some stuff to Melbourne in our truck. And when we bought this truck, it had retreads on the back. It had been used for running around town just doing light deliveries. And retreads were no problem there. But we were carrying 4.5 tonne in it. And just north of Joogeyong, we hear this bang. There was pressure, it was constant pressure, but there was a weakness in the tyre and it blew out. And if we're under constant pressure in the workplace or in our lives, we can blow out. So we have to learn to recognise those pressures. The stress from within. That can come from, how shall I put it? A conflict with our own personal morals and standards. Example, when I started working for a place in Bowral when I first left school, I was doing television service. And the boss of that place thought it would be good for me to get 2 blank claim forms signed for any warranty repairs, bring them back and he'd fill them in. I stood up to him and I said, the recommendation is that we have one claim form filled in and signed by the customer after it has been filled in. That way the customer is aware of what's going on. He said, well, that's not the way I want to do it. Now, this went against my moral standings, my moral guidelines in my own life. So I said, okay, if that's the way you want it done, find someone else to do the job. This was dealing with a stress situation. You know what he did? He backed down. Because he respected my standards. Some years later, I was working for Phillips Industries. Now, Phillips, you don't just tackle this head on like that. This is a company that at that time had just on 500,000 employees worldwide. They implemented worldwide standards. And one thing they did was to break the day up into 86-minute periods. 86-minute periods, that's right. The workday was broken up into 86-minute periods. And you had to charge out 78 of those periods to customers. Which to me was immoral. And I think as you consider it, it probably is against your standards too. But this was a worldwide implementation by Philips. This is a company who, on any spare parts that were brought in, immediately put a 600% markup on them. This is huge. I had issues with that too, but I couldn't do anything about it. But with the period system, I went to my bosses and said, look, I can't work with this. I will not work with this. It's immoral. And I expected to be asked to leave, so I said, I will finish up because I can't work with it. They said, look, we do have a position for you if you can do the work that's too hard for other technicians. They said, we've got a pile of stuff which is just growing where it can't be fixed within reasonable times because the technicians don't have the experience. Would you be prepared to tackle that? And you won't be on the P system at all for that. I said, no problem. Excuse me. So I tackled that. This was a way of dealing with personal stress. But I was prepared to walk. And we've got standards. If I had stayed on under that P system, I would have increased the stress levels in my life because I would be going against my own moral standards. Now, we all have moral standards, unless we're politicians. They can work without moral standards, but it doesn't worry them. I don't think they know what stress is sometimes. But this is stress that comes from within. And we have to be able to identify that and take resolute action to prevent it or stop it. Otherwise it will destroy us. It's like pressure that builds up and weakens the case of the tyre. And it will blow out. And if it's not dealt with, you'll find you've got other problems start to creep in, like you need Valium sandwiches or something like that. Sorry if I touch on any nerves there. But that will only mask the problem. It won't deal with the actual stress situation. We've got to address the stress. Yeah. Yes, this is in the workplace. But it's personal stress.
Yes.
Stress.
Kind of overlap,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Stress that comes from within in the workplace. And the workplace can bring that to the fore. I'm not talking about your normal stress in your own life at home, because you can bring that into the workplace as well.
It can be an element of it.
Yes, yeah. It can be an element of it. And if that's an element, then you have to look at addressing that stress in the home as well. Because in the workplace, you are what you bring in from home. You can't just switch off. It's part of you. It's part of your makeup. Then there's stress brought on from the workplace. Years ago, I'm talking centuries ago, some areas of the world, possibly not that long ago, men went out and hunted to get their food. Can you imagine a man creeping along, sneaking up on a tiger, and suddenly he's crack behind him? Fear. He knows something's not right. All these medical effects come into play and he's off like a rocket. Today, the tiger is caged in an office. And that click might be an email. Can I see you in my office? And suddenly you've got a reaction. That click might be a fellow worker who's trying to get up on you, get one up on you. Pulling a practical joke. That brings stress. This place where I worked when I first left school, they're very good at practical jokes. Now this one will really set you thinking. If it happened today, you'd go to jail for it. We had a motor mechanic there who was creating a lot of stress. He was a know-all, knew everything. But he was a good salesman at selling TVs. Anyway, the toilet for the place was off the workshop. Had a dirt floor. And the boss decided he'd get back at this salesman. So he got an old television on the workbench beside the toilet door and ran a very fine wire from the EHT down into the bowl. 14,000 volts. The guy went to the toilet and got the shock of his life. He came out backwards and brought the door down with him. He went on to have children, but he only ever had daughters. Now, if that happened today, okay, it was a way of dealing with stress. And it solved the problem. If that happened today, you'd go to jail for it. No, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. That'd just be, you're out. But you've got to work out ways of dealing with stress. You identify it, then you deal with it. There's also stress that comes from dealing with customers. Customers can be a great source of stress in the workplace. Very, very demanding. And particularly, I've noticed, I've been doing this for 40 years, and customers are getting worse, or my reactions are getting worse. I think customers are getting worse. They're expecting more, they're expecting immediately, and they're expecting things for nothing. I had a customer some years ago that just would not see common sense. And I ended up saying to him, "Sir, you appear to me to have the intelligence of the combined population of Rookwood Cemetery on a good day." There was a little bit of stunned silence. "And can I speak to the general manager, please?" "Yes, speaking." The phone slammed down. The guy continued to deal with this. We never ever had another problem with him. All he needed was a reality check. And I had the guts to do it. It solved the stress problem for me. It solved the stress problem for him. It shifted the barrier so we both knew where we stood. It cleared any problems. That can sometimes be necessary. Occasionally, you'll blow up at a customer. It happens. I've done it. Then you phone up and you apologise. You won't lose face for that. You'll actually gain respect for it. Because you're dealing with a stress situation. You're calming the waters and you're saying, "Look, I'm ready to communicate." And it feels good to you too. Comprende?
Oui.
C'est bien. You're probably not aware, but Diane is a student who has English as a second language. How's your shoulder holding up?
Collarbone.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good?
Collarbone. Oh.
So this is not too heavy a load for you to carry?
No, I'm fine.
Good. Are you learning anything?
Yeah.
Interesting?
Yeah.
We have stress between us from time to time too. You wouldn't know it, but we do. We've learned how to deal with it though. Yeah, I tell him to nick off. He tells me to nick off. But we have that respect with each other. Stress from outside. Conflict with customers. When you are asked to do something by your boss that does not agree with you or is against, once again, your moral standings. Now, this can cause stress from outside as well as being a cause of stress from inside. And it has to be recognised. Now, there's various methods in place for dealing with stress. I mentioned the Valium sandwiches. You might go home at the end of the day and have a nice glass of wine. Or you might take a few breaks during the day and have a cigarette. Or other sorts of drugs. I've got news for you. You're dealing with the symptoms. All you're doing is masking the symptoms. You're not dealing with the source of the stress. If you deal with the source of the stress, then you've solved the problem. And the source of the stress might be changing direction, might be changing a job. It might be moving from one section of employment to another. You with your English as a second language. If you're finding that stressful in the workplace, consider talking to your boss and asking him to look at targeting an area of business where that language can come into play. Your
my
natural language.
Cannot understand me half the time.
Not for me,
he'll learn. I've got a businessman in this town. Any of you know Village Ski? Keith Thorne from Village Ski? Keith actually learnt Chinese. I'm not sure whether it was Mandarin or Cantonese, but he learnt the Chinese language. And then targeted the Chinese market in Sydney. He advertised his business in the Chinese newspapers in Sydney. It was a way of dealing with stress from Australian tourists. He found that the Australians were becoming very, very demanding. But by going to the Chinese people, he found that by accommodating them and making himself available to them, they reacted with appreciation. This is one way of him actually expanding his business, dealing with a stressful situation, and he could really use people who spoke Chinese. Now, in Deanne's situation, she speaks French. Un petit peu. You can be in a situation where your boss may consider marketing to the French-speaking market. And you can be moved into a position where you're comfortable and you can still learn the English language and gradually become more familiar with it. You can ask your boss for light duties. He's got to be understanding. Now, if you're there with your shoulder strapped up and broken collarbone, he's got to be understanding. Otherwise, he's in trouble. He's legally in trouble if he doesn't make accommodation for you. We've touched on the effects of stress. You look bored, Philip.
No.
Are you stressed?
No.
You're sitting there. You're listening. How are you coping, Shani? You're not bored? Oh, good. Is anyone bored? Are you seeing similarities with yoga? No? It probably comes more into dealing with stress on a personal level.
It's like you inflict pain on people, you make them stretch to the point where they want to scream.
I'm glad.
Stress release.
Yeah. Which makes you feel better.
Yeah. See, I'd put that as pressure. And pressure on a person is good to extend them. Otherwise, you just... You sit and grow fat. Sometimes you stand and grow fat. Sorry.
Performance anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can be pushed gently. I have a problem with this course, actually, believe it or not, because the teaching methods are so different to what I have been familiar with in the past. All the red tape that's got to be followed. Now, Shani's got to have my session plan because, as she said, it's a legal document. I've spoken for 40 years without session plans.
And are you dealing with the old chain that you like?
Yeah. See, my audit trail has always been the recording that I keep. If anyone wants to challenge it, well, the recording's there. I'm secretary of Cooma Schools Ministry Association, and in our meetings, I record the minutes, and then they're typed up afterwards. We've got a minute secretary as well, but I record all the meetings so that anything that is forgotten or anything that needs to be challenged is recorded. It's just a safety factor. That's a bit of a discussion before I go on any further. How are you finding stress in your life, Richard?
Always challenging.
What things cause stress in your life?
Everything. I'm a very calm person. Overreaction of other people.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Jason.
Justin. Well, Justin,
I should say. Justin's not here.
No, he created stress.
Shani, what sort of things are causing stress in your life? Having to come back from Bali, I know.
No, that wasn't the stress at all.
No, coming back from there.
Coming back.
Yeah.
You have to come back.
Yeah, no, that wasn't the stress. I suppose just general work commitments, targets, and like making, make sure everything's right. I suppose that's all stress. But then I work a little bit on stress too.
A little bit of stress is good. A little bit of stress is good. But when stress takes over and stress is pushing you, then it's dangerous and very, very unhealthy. Because if you've got glucose and fatty acids continually being pushed into your bloodstream because of stress, hey, you've got cholesterol problems.
Difference between stress and anxiety?
Anxiety is more of a personal nature. That comes from within. how shall I say, an evidence of unknown realities. The evidence of things not seen, fears not seen, is anxiety. Yes. And you'd recognise where I'm taking that from. Yeah. I'm actually taking that straight from the Bible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, in Hebrews chapter 11. But the antithesis of faith is fear. And fear has the same definition in the negative. The substance of things not hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Doesn't it?
Yeah, sure.
And a lot of things that you fear are never going to come to pass anyway. We heard that in a video.
Did you see that story?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were really into it, and suddenly
the DVD was really, really scratchy.
The DVD?
Yeah, really.
We were really into it. We were, oh, wow.
It's a preview now.
The one from the library?
Someone has been taking care of it. Which caused you much stress.
Yes.
You know, but do you remember when you saw the video? I've got it. Alan Peters.
Maybe a safety factor there for the library would be to actually have the video and work from a copy of it.
Yeah, that's what I usually
do. Yeah. That's something to reduce stress. Planning. Planning can help reduce stress. Yeah. Something you're familiar with. You do a lot of planning. So you shouldn't be stressed, should you?
I don't get too stressed because I do plan.
How about you, Bowen? What stresses you?
I don't think I've got too many stresses right now. I suppose I'm a little bit stressed about my hour presentation.
You'll cope. You've got it within you to do it. You've got the capabilities. You've got to believe in yourself and your abilities to do it. Should we encourage Natalie?
I think everyone stresses about that. I stress every time I have.
You'll, hey.
Yeah. I don't think it's just.
You'll go okay.
Not so much.
You will.
Yeah, I feel that I will.
I was stressed about this.
Yeah.
But a healthy stress.
Yeah.
Now, I've been preaching for 40 years, and every time I get up to a pulpit to preach, I am nervous before I get up.
Yeah.
And that can be healthy. Now, I'm not chewing up in the stomach, over it.
Yeah.
But I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to muff it.
I wouldn't claim a physician still get butterflies in your stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, when you get up here, you've got the floor. Shani hasn't got the floor. You've got it. And you've got it to do what you want to do with it. Okay? Yeah. What's stressing you, Gavin?
Variety of things in life.
The broken collarbone, that's limiting you in what you can do.
But externally in life, more my children's stability is a stress to me.
Yeah.
Having a safe work site, I can't be there all the time, so I have to trust people.
You have to delegate, and that's hard.
Because
you're a man who likes to be in control.
But also touching on anxiety there before, I didn't realise until a couple of years ago that I suffer from anxiety. and that can get me from the minute my eyes open in the morning for no reason.
Yeah. And how do you deal with it? Have a cup of coffee?
I have changed my diet, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've just seen advice from the doctor.
Good.
And it was as simple as St. John's Wort, which
is
herbal.
Yeah.
And that seems to be really energetic.
Because sometimes these things can be an imbalance within our bodies.
I didn't confront it for years. I just thought it was just me.
Recognition is one of the greatest factors. If you can recognise stress that comes from within, you can deal with it. If you recognise stress that comes from without, you can deal with it. And if you recognise stress that comes from customers, you can deal with them. But in dealing with stress with customers, don't ever, with stress in your own life too, don't ever take any steps to address that stress without seriously considering the long-term ramifications of those stress, of those steps. I had a nephew who was quite stressed. His mum died at an early age, and his father remarried, and the new wife wasn't terribly amenable to the children from the previous wife, and she drove them out of the house. And young Lloyd, at the age of 19, he'd been trying to drown his sorrows in alcohol. He'd had a fight with his girlfriend. He was very much into heavy metal music. He came home one night after a fight, put on an AC/DC song, Shoot to Kill, put a 22 in his mouth and shot himself. Now, there's no need for that sort of thing to happen. That's when stress gets the better of you. Now, his rational thinking was masked by being drunk. Alcohol will mask the effects and cause you to think irrationally. Drugs will mask the effects and cause you to think irrationally. And quite frankly, smoking also has that effect, particularly if you get into marijuana. And then that brings other results with a tendency to schizophrenia. It's a documented fact. It's better to face the stresses head on. With a clear mind, sit down and rationally consider it. Have a cup of tea. Take time out. Go to a quiet place. Go to the corner of a room. Go to your bedroom. Sit in the dark. Think about it. Turn the light on. Think about it. But just sit there and rationally analyse what is going on. Write down notes. You're forgiven. Write down notes. Make a column on the left-hand side. What is causing this stress? On the right-hand side. What can I do to alleviate this? How can I stop it? What's the best way to treat it? And you'll be surprised that you actually come up with the answers yourself. Because in a stressful situation, we have the answers ourselves. They are within us. And we just have to sit down rationally and tease them out. See, you all have the answers for stress management in business. You all have it. Probably haven't thought about it that much, that's all. How does that sit with you, Shani? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a Bex and a lowdown.
You have a Bex and a lowdown. You and your Valium sandwiches.
Well, I've given up the Valium.
You've given up the Valium.
I've adopted a little saying to myself
Yep.
It's not going to kill me.
That's right. But the stress will.
The stress makes you think you've done it. And then you think,
yeah. Stress makes you think, ah, I'm a quivering idiot. Stress will do that to you.
Mm.
That's uncontrolled. An uncontrolled fear will do that. When you become fearful, stop. Take time out. Look at what you're fearful of. Is it controlling you, or are you controlling it? And take the steps to control it. Because you can control your circumstances. You can make choices. You can make choices as to what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. It might be choosing to leave a job. So you might find this job here teaching so stressful that you've got to say, I can't do this anymore. And get out. And that's for your own preservation. Others can do the work. No, you're not indispensable.
Life will go on,
yeah. But are you going to be part of the life that's going on? Because you've got to look after yourself. Look after number one. Don't let life rule you. You rule your place in life. And just by making decisions to do that, you reduce your stress levels. I could wrap this up fairly soon there. Yeah. I normally only speak for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Yeah, I've got about 20 minutes to go. Any questions?
Probably personal just an observation that in your life you seem to have covered your stresses by confronting them quite quickly.
Yes.
With your jobs and things
yep.
like that. You've taken anything to the point where you take a risk of possibly being unemployed, but
yep.
It's definitely seems like a good method.
It works.
It
works.
Like you say, people respect that. Might make them stand back. And
yeah.
Right.
Well, this situation with Phillips, I stood up to them. Then they put me in charge of doing the too hard file. We came up to our... Because I was only working for Phillips 1.5 days a week. This was while I was in Bible college. And we came up to the end of 72, and they said to me, I was called up into the human resources office. And I thought, don't know what this is for. I haven't done anything to upset them. And they said, we've got a situation with Pioneer, because at that stage, Pioneer was owned by a company that was a subsidiary of Phillips. Astronics Australasia. They said, our service manager for Pioneer has walked out. He was an alcoholic. And he just walked out and left him in a mess. They said, you're coming up for your college vacation. Would you like to work full time as relieving service manager for Pioneer? With the proviso that you get it back into order and find someone to take the job permanently. And we'll pay you $100 a week for that. Now, in 72, that was good money. So I said, yes, I'll do that. The second day I was there, I got hit with a national stock take. So it was really in the deep end. I was able to cope with it. And I found someone to take the job permanently. Yes? Yes. Yes. Communication.
Yeah. The same situation these days. What legal implications have been what happens to a guy that just walks out in that position and leaves the company?
Yeah, let him go.
Yeah,
you just let him go.
It's up to you.
Yeah.
What legal contract does he have to the company?
Yeah, as a director of a company, the contract, you think all that through beforehand and put terms and conditions.
Look.
Yeah,
well,
you
know, these in the days of this, there was no real contract. We were running a business here in Cooma as well, and I had staff that just walked out like that, and we had staff that we asked to leave too.
If you went out on stress leave, I could come in tomorrow. And say, I've had enough of this and go on the doctors, and he could put me on stress leave for 3 months. And
but that
all this would just be
in 72, that wouldn't
happen.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much being qualified for the job, it was a matter of being able to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the person I chose to take the position was actually an electrician, for whom electronics was a hobby. But I did an examination just by asking him questions that I knew someone who knew their job would answer. And he satisfied me. There are a couple of others. One gave excellent references. And I checked up and he'd just been sacked from the CSIRO for theft. You know, he wasn't getting a look in sideways. Another chap was already currently employed with Panasonic and he was just trying to better himself, but he didn't have the maturity to be able to handle the job. I was only a young fellow myself. I was only 23, 24, something like that. But I'd been in the industry for years. And anyway... this fellow, we accepted him for the position, and Phillips were quite happy with my choice. And I finished up at a certain time, and he was to start the following week. And the weekend I finished up, the place was robbed. And I hadn't handed my keys in even. And it was an inside job. And I wasn't even quizzed by the police. Because I had the backing of human resources. They knew the calibre of the person. That's why they asked me to take the job. Now, if you stand up to an employer, the employer will know the calibre of the person. And he mightn't like it, but he'll respect it. And that will stand you in good stead. It will also reduce stress because you are taking control of your life.
Can I give you a quick example? I
yep.
started work for a company called Fairies.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little, well, I might have had baby kids by then, but it had children, and this first day went and met the boss and he said, look mate, we work Saturdays and every second week we work Sundays as well. So first time in my life I ever stepped straight up and I said, well, pack my gear because I never work Saturdays and Sundays over family, and that's my decision. So, and the boss who I
give me a high five,
I assumed would just go, oh, well, see you later.
Yeah,
he said, mate, the first bloke has ever said that,
yep.
And I look, he's still and I respect it, so I'm going
to
ask him.
Yeah,
and that was day one, first conversation.
Good, that shows your
other guys,
that shows your calibre. And you took control of the situation.
Within 6 months, he'd asked me to be a foreman. So, whereas all the other guys on site, same situation, had families, sports, whatever, were always making excuses, always bad-mouthing the boss, and we just got to step up and tell him.
Yeah. Okay, the rest of you, you see what happens.
I think a lot of these stresses, like that you're talking about here, workplace stresses.
I was his boss and he was my boss at one stage. So.
I think they come with age too. Like, you know, the older you get and the more responsibilities and everything. more you take on.
Mm.
You know, I mean, when I remember back to when I was 20 and 21, and I mean, the stresses in the workplace weren't like what they are now.
Mm.
And I'm sure they were still there, but that you just didn't see them at a younger age. You know, if you wanted to go somewhere, you just give your notice and off you go.
Yeah.
Stretch, whereas these days you take
more, and I don't know that it's not these days, it's the role, as you've got older there's more involved, and you know you've got mortgages, you can't just take off and do what you want compared to when you're at a younger age. Back to sort of what you were saying, like with what the protocol is, and you quit, you would give two weeks or a month's notice and work well for that month, you don't become a
lazy.
Yeah,
way to do it.
Just
yeah.
the next
yeah.
person's going to ring that way and he's going to say...
In a small town, yeah, but in the city
you
can get away with
anything.
Yeah,
but in the city everyone's casual, so it's just like,
although
I'm on tomorrow, see ya. Well,
sometimes
if you... My daughter, just, well, Bree, had, she's old and bald, she had the highest stress job in Sydney, you know, like for her age, 22, on $55,000 a year, which to me is a lot of money for a 22-year-old.
Mm.
You know, the high pressure at work at 7 in the morning, leaving at 7 at 9, meeting targets, you know, all that sort of thing, dealing with people overseas. And in the end, she said to me, I've had enough of this, can't stand it anymore. She's wearing the suit and doing the shitty job. She's gave notice, left within the week, and now living in Burleigh Heads, and looking back on the beach. And but at that age, you can do that.
Yeah.
We can't.
No.
Well, you know, we can't as people with, you know, mortgages and things like that. We can't. So I think your stresses are
different experiences.
Yeah,
well,
your stresses sort of come with age.
Mm. When I met my wife, when I met my wife, she was actually managing the typing department for General Accident Insurance in Sydney. She was 26. And she had risen to that position fairly rapidly because she was consistent with her work. Now, they were going through time and motion studies in those days. I don't know if they still do this, but they had people in to time them, how long it takes to type up a policy, etc. And now, this was long before computers. It was the old Basser typewriters, not even electric ones. And they could never meet the targets. So Pam said to her staff, to her boss, and then to her staff, she said, leave me alone for one day. I will work flat out for a day without any interruptions and see what I get through. Now, she was the head of the typing department and she couldn't even meet the targets. And she went to her boss with that. This is confronting stress head on. And her boss was the general manager of General Accident Insurance. She went to him and he just decided to throw out the time and motion study totally and go back to the way Pam suggested be done, because he knew that she would get the results with the accuracy and take a whole lot of stress off the typing department, because they were all stressing. There were about 10 women there, and these were women in their 30s, 40s. It was unusual for a 26-year-old to be heading up the department, but Pam had the respect of all her staff there.
I've experienced the reverse of that.
Yes.
My boss, when I was PA and administrator, he was renowned for being a person who would always pick up his hand and say, yeah, I'll do that, yeah, I'll fix that, yeah, I'll complete that, because he was very smart, but it was a tire blowout situation, because he, over years, developed the identity of the guy that would fix everything. Other elements of the business.
You see that a lot down there. When people want to be
the meals window.
Oh, I can do that.
They
I can
delegate.
Do that. Yeah, and they're the ones who do blow out, actually.
Yeah, because his other side of the arm was sticking as well. He's walking with the ship, like, every day. And, oh, no, oh, no.
Yeah.
Angry again.
Yeah, what's going to happen today?
Yeah.
Yeah. You were going to say something, Phil?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter? Okay. Another chap I was at Bible college with was a very tense young man. Very sensitive over everything. Personally very sensitive. I remember one day someone touched his knee and he picked up a plate at the dinner table and threw it at him. It missed and went out the window. But this, he was a lovely guy, very, very sensitive and very highly strung. And he remained that way through life. He actually ended up ordained as a minister and quite successful in his ministry. But the stress eventually took its toll. And he came down with MS. And stress was a factor in it. He ended up in a very sad situation. His wife divorced him, put him in a nursing home, and then sued him for maintenance for the kids. And this guy ended up surviving on about $4 a week. But even then, he'd get out in his wheelchair and go out to one of the local schools up in Queensland where he was. And he was adopted by the school. The stress level had considerably dropped when after the MS set in, and you know, he realised, he came to dealing with it that he could not deal with the stress. And this was the result of it. So he accepted his position then, and stress level dropped down. You nearly forgot to take the photo, didn't you?
No.
My dad's cattle farmer, and he's a very gentle man, naturally. But
well, the cattle would notice that too.
They do.
Yeah.
And even into the, you know, given you said as an example of cows.
Yeah.
If they are from being born, calf and their mums hit them in the yards and yelling and screaming, and that calf, its whole life grows up to be mad. It's meat's tough. It's not good. So his methods is ultra gentle, and he gets the top prices at sales because people know that that's how. You know, so it's not only just in humans; it's in everything's got stress, I suppose. But, just thinking about.
I had a horrible fish of lamb the other night, and I'm not too picky. I mean, I'm picky with Bristol or whatever, but it was the flavour of the meat tasted wrong, and it could have had something to do with that.
Stress level.
It felt like that. It felt wrong.
Or it could be the preservatives they put in at Woolies.
Could have even been the way it was transported to just before it got killed, you know? It was freaking out.
Now one other thing I've found very helpful in customer relations and in reducing stress with customers is I get a lot of customers who come to me after being at a call centre where they get passed from person to person to person to person to person, eventually come through and we're the end of the line and they're stressed. So I've developed a series of good, clean jokes that I use. And it's amazing how it de-stresses people when they hear a good, clean joke. Like, I'll ask someone, do you know anyone that rides a Harley? And he says, yes. And says, I've got a farm as well. No. Why'd they buy a tractor? Things like that. You know, 80% of all Harleys ever made are still on the road. The other 20% made at home. Okay, they're sick jokes. But they have a placating effect.
Yeah.
And they do knock the stress levels down.
Yeah.
And time again, I have customers that say, thanks. You've given me something to smile about today. There is a lot of stress in the workplace. And in communicating with customers, we have the ability to be able to reduce that stress level for our customers and for our fellow workers. Jokes can be a part of stress relief. They can work very well. I'm going to wrap it up now and give you this handout. I realise I'm a little short on time, but I think we've had a good time today. I think there's something that we can all take from this. And I thank you for your time and your attention. And I'll hand back to Shani.
Was I supposed to say?